It's now time for the WMMR Public Affairs Show on 93.3 WMMR Philadelphia.
You're listening to 93.3 WMMR. This is Public Affairs. I'm your host, Marcus Goldman. And with me today are two people who will be at the Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia the following weekend. They are Josie Wales, who is an editor, journalist, public speaker, YouTube personality, as well as Mark Passio, who is an independent researcher, public speaker, radio talk show host, co-founder of the Free Your Mind Conference, freedom activist, and he is also from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And again, they are here to talk about the Free Your Mind Conference, which is happening. Some very interesting speakers, including a few names you might recognize. Folks, thank you very much for stopping by to chat today. Appreciate it.
Marcus, thanks so much for having us here.
Thank you for having us.
You bet, you bet. Now, before we start talking about everything and you all introducing yourselves, could you give the dates, the times, the location of where the Free Your Mind Conference is, as well as all of the social media information, and if there's a phone number that people can reach?
The Free Your Mind 4 Conference is going to be happening next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 15th, 16th, and 17th. It's going to be held at the Sheraton Bucks County Hotel at 400 North Oxford Valley Road in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. All of the ticketing information can be found at the conference's website. That is freeyourmindconference.com, and you could check out a full listing of speakers there as well, freeyourmindconference.com.
Josie, do you want to introduce yourself and give us a little background on yourself and what you'll be doing at the Free Your Mind Conference?
Okay, well, I am originally from Philly, born and raised. I've moved around a lot. I guess my background is I was raised to question everything. That's how I got to where I am today and why I do what I do today. Of course, during my 20s, I slacked off and clubbed and loved the corporate world and sales and all that kind of craziness. But, you know, in my private time, I secretly got lost in YouTube videos and books after books and research and all those wonderful things. I am a public speaker. I have traveled all over advocating for the restoration of and defense of basic human rights. And I hope to continue to do so until we get them back.
Well, my background is essentially in the world of the occult, and I became involved in many esoteric topics as my involvement with the occult world grew, and got a kind of a peek behind the veil, I guess you could say, about the real power structure of this world, and decided that, you know, I didn't want to go down that dark path and that I wanted to expose what was really happening in the world and explain to people the underlying causal factors about why the freedom of the people of Earth is being lost. And so I became a public speaker back in 2007, started my own radio show, my own website, which is whatonearthishappening.com, and ultimately helped to co-found the Free Your Mind Conference, which is now in its fourth incarnation this year.
As a conference, have you seen a lot of growth in the conference over the 4 years?
A tremendous growth. A tremendous interest has grown since the first one that we did back in 2011. Originally, it was an every other year event. For the first 3 years, we did one in 2011, 2013, and then 2015 last year. It grew significantly over those three events, and a lot more people are becoming interested in these topics. A lot more people are questioning the status quo. They're questioning, you know, the state of the world and why things are the way that they are. And as that interest grows, a lot more people have, you know, sought answers. And what we've endeavored to do is really put together a platform where a lot of very well-researched individuals can come together and present their information in an open forum and reach out to other people and, you know, help present not only what's really going wrong, but help to present solutions to people so that they can have, you know, an idea of what really needs to be done to correct some of these wrongs that are going on.
Why do you think so many people are questioning things, and people obviously are tired of things that are happening in the world? But in the past, when people like yourself have brought ideas that vary from the norm, you have been ostracized, you have been outcast, you have been pretty much bullied in a lot of ways.
Sure.
But now there's a lot more interest in that. Why do you think there's such a shift in that type of thinking?
Well, you know, there's the old adage that everybody wants change, but very few people want to change. And I think people are starting, they're at the very beginning of the process of relating causal factors to the manifestations of negative events in the world. And when you start to do that, you realize that our behavior and what we support psychologically, mentally, what we put our energy toward in what we support goes a long way in contributing to why things are turning out the way that they are turning out. So I think people are gaining more interest in this because they're making a more fundamental connection about how people think and behave and how the end result plays out in the world. And they're realizing that if you don't want to see the result that's playing out, you have to change your mind. You have to change your emotions. And ultimately, you have to change your behavior.
I totally agree with Mark. I also believe that social media has played an immense part in this. Independent journalists, people being able to connect all over the world, are now able to see that it's not just happening in their town, their state, their city, that things are not okay everywhere. It connects people. It brings them together. It makes them not feel as ostracized, as weird, as different for thinking something that maybe CNN didn't tell them was okay to think, or, you know, their family or friends. I think the connections that have been made globally have absolutely really pushed this over the edge, and it just continues to grow. More and more people are connecting, learning, challenging each other, pushing humanity forward in an amazing way.
Do you think the fact that through things like archaeological digs where we're finding out what we learned before is wrong are some of the maybe catalysts in starting to question that type of stuff and to maybe make it more mainstream and acceptable to question that type of stuff instead of bullying it?
I'll take that first, and then Josie, you can chime in if you want. I think one of my main areas of research and endeavoring to help people to understand is that the past plays a vital, vital role in our current understanding. And if you can control what people think about what happened in the past, you can actually really very much, to a very great degree, control their behavior in the modern world. It's been a technique of tyrants throughout the world to cut people off from their true origins and understanding of their true origins. So most certainly, a lot of the discoveries that you're talking about, you know, new discoveries that completely reverse our linear view of history as archaeology and anthropology in the modern sense would have us understand it, is definitely playing a role in helping people to think outside the box a little bit more and understand that things aren't so cut and dried as we've been taught in history class and anthropology class, etc. There's a lot more complex things that have taken place in this world that have directed the course of human development and evolution, and I think a lot of people are beginning to wake up to that as well.
I agree with that. I also agree with what you said, Marcus, and I would just add that the fact that, I mean, obviously history repeats itself. It's a cliche, but it's true over and over and over again. It has. However, going back to technology, we now have the ability to really hold on to, now we have the technology, especially in the States, that we're comfortable and we're able to focus more on research and a lot of the things that we didn't used to be able to focus on. We have more free time, as you could say. You know, we're not out there, you know, tilling lands just to survive. And so we can now use that as a reference. And a lot of people see these things happening again, a lot of the red flags. And while, you know, everyone says not here, no, it won't happen again. It won't happen again. Well, there's a quote that says a revolution seems impossible before it happens and inevitable after.
I had a history professor say something to me when I was in college quite a few years back, and it was basically this: don't forget your history. If you don't know your history, then those in power can take away your identity. If they take away your identity, they control you.
That's right.
And that's basically what you all said. Very interesting. Now, the conference, which starts Friday, April 15th, starts off with a bang. Your first speaker is Mary Shawn Young. She is a Hollywood whistleblower. You might know her from one of the great Hollywood movies, Blade Runner. She was opposite Harrison Ford, and she was fantastic in that movie. She's a great actress. Is there anything you want to say regarding how it starts off in some of the other speakers and what she might be talking about regarding?
Yeah, I can speak to that a bit. I think Bob, the main organizer, brought her onto the roster this year because, of course, she is a Hollywood personality, a well-known personality in Hollywood, and she's been really opening her mind to some of the topics that we discuss in this conference, which, of course, is a conference on consciousness, human consciousness, techniques of mind control that are being waged against the human population, and occult often esoteric topics as well. I've actually spoken to Mary Shawn in the past several times, and she has confided and communicated in me that she's wanted to talk on these topics for years now, but, you know, had a little bit of trepidation because she sees how entrenched the power structure in Hollywood in particular is and how ostracized one can become if they begin to talk out against the current powers that be. And I think she's stepping out of her shell a bit this year and has decided to go public. She has been on some alternative media interviews on different internet radio stations, but to my knowledge, this is the first time she's coming out and publicly speaking on some of the things that she herself has seen in Hollywood. So it should be a very interesting discussion to start the whole conference off.
Then Friday night, I know you're part of an anarchy panel. Josie, do you want to talk about what you're going to be speaking about and maybe some of the things that are going to be going on in this panel?
Sure. It's actually agorism. I think there was a little bit of a change. It's more of a shift toward agorism, which it's a philosophy, a libertarian-based philosophy, but it's not just libertarian, that says that we don't have to have the government involved in every single thing that we do. It promotes a voluntary exchange. It's basically communities, cities, states, towns, whatever you want to call it, coming together, interacting, supporting each other, basically building communities and establishing the systems that are already in place and improving upon them without the restrictions placed by the government on a lot of these systems, such as, I mean, you look at healthcare and, you know, roads, and all of our taxes are going to all of these things that aren't getting done. So kind of where's our money going? And we could do it better, you know, without the restrictions and the regulations of the government. You know, you look at foreign countries and roads basically defrost themselves because they have the freedom to, now this, I'm drawing a blank, I can't remember what country it is.
It's Netherlands. They have bike roads that light up at night as well, the solar bike roads that have lights at night. You can ride at night.
Thank you. Amsterdam is actually an amazing example of agorism at work. Their government actually has a department. Now, this is just an example of a huge step in the right direction. It actually has a department that encourages technology, encourages and puts people together who are interested in the same things, like entrepreneurs with the people who can make those business models happen. And a lot of times what's the exchange isn't money. It can be information. It can be work, anything you can imagine. And that is basically what it is.
But can it work on a global level versus in a small country level? Because that's the big challenge, is to make something like that semi-consistent across the board.
Well, does it have to be consistent the same way everywhere in every single place? You know, what they have there is a great example.
Yeah.
So, you know, places like the States or parts like that can take that as a guideline and see where it goes.
Yeah, I guess consistently, I would say consistently where everybody treats human beings decently, that type of consistency.
Okay.
And will we have that type of consistency as well? Because in European countries like that, they're really working hard to do good to the people. And can a country like America, who's in a big state of turmoil, do something like that and successfully adopt that type of philosophy? And can the people lighten up?
Well, I can't see into the future, but I will tell you that it is highly likely that people will be a lot less frustrated, a lot more patient, and a lot less likely to help out their neighbor, their community, and to work together to build something when they're not paying most of their paycheck, you know, half or if not more of their paycheck, you know, to things that they're not seeing any returns on. So I think it's definitely, you know, a lot less government is incentive and conducive to happier people.
That totally makes sense. I mean, we've had our politicians on both sides of the political party say they were going to make government smaller, and both parties have made government bigger. So it would be interesting to see if that philosophy works in a country that's being successful, in a country with, what, 12, 15 million, 18 million people, and we have 300 million. So can we make that many people happy? I think it's a great conversation topic and something that definitely people should check out. Mark, you're going to be talking again about the occult aspect, and I do want to talk about what angle you gave us, a very long explanation of your speech, the unholy feminism, neo-feminism, and the satanic epi-eugenics agenda.
Right, that's the title of my talk at Free Your Mind 4. It's a two-part talk. I'll be speaking on Saturday evening and giving half of the talk and then completing it on Sunday evening. The total title of the talk is The Unholy Feminine, Neo-Feminism, and the Satanic Epi-Eugenics Agenda. I know that's a big mouthful for a presentation title, but essentially what I'm really going to be discussing is the social engineering that has been specifically targeted at women in our society in order to essentially propagate a certain type of person for the future generations. This is a form of eugenics or selective breeding process that the ruling class sort of directs in our society through social engineering, or, you know, that's really kind of a euphemism. I call it what it really is, mind control. And what I'm going to talk about is not only the traits and characteristics that they're trying to breed into society and trying to breed out of society through essentially steering and directing the types of characteristics that people find attractive, but I am going to talk about the groups that direct this agenda. I'm going to talk about the ultimate goal of this agenda, and I'm going to end the presentation by talking about solutions and talking about how I feel that there is such a transformative power within women in our society to really direct positive change by becoming a stepping into their role as nurturers of morality in society. And when they do that, I think there is nothing that they cannot achieve, and I think all of society would be improved as a result. So I'm going to cover the dark aspect of it, but I'm yet also going to kind of try to end it in a positive note and present some solutions that we can actually employ.
And that's interesting that, you know, we talked off mic before we started recording about the difference between eugenics and epigenetics,
yes,
which is the mental versus the physical. And in the aspects of breeding with the eugenics and the epigenetics, it seems in a lot of ways they're failing because they're messing with the DNA. There's all the chemicals that we have to look at, whether it be the chemtrails that they're spraying, whether it be, yep, all of the artificial substances in the food, the lead in the water, yep, the fluoride in
that,
the water.
All of that will be discussed.
Autism rates are, yep, up. Down, yep, syndrome rates are up.
Sure.
Breeding, again, while there's that physical aspect, I mean, look at the materialism aspect and the money aspect, yep, and the wealth aspect seems to take greater heed in some ways than the actual physical appearance look.
They want all of those things in society. If the truth be told, what they're really directing is a dysgenics agenda. Eugenics means essentially breeding stronger people or breeding people with more positive characteristics into society. They are ultimately trying to dumb people down. They are ultimately trying to weaken, they're trying to weaken all people, but specifically they're doing that by destroying traditional gender roles and weakening both men and women through this agenda. And they're doing that because a weakened group of people are easier to dominate and control. And if you can steer the course of the mind of what people find attractive in the sense of what they want for the next generation, and you can direct that selective breeding process, then you're only going to breed into society, you're going to engineer society with a certain group of characteristics. That's what the ruling class seek to do. They are trying to get people to produce a future generation that is ultimately easier for them to control.
But look at the people in power. Many of them aren't smart. They're ugly, both physically and from the inside. They're not physically attractive at all. Yet they are in charge.
I would say those certainly are not the people who are in
charge. But they're in charge. But they're in charge. They're making the rules.
They're the puppets who are ultimately enacting.
Who are they, the puppets
agenda
too?
They're the puppets of a very, very hidden and dark priest class that rules from behind the scenes. Okay. And that's what I talk about in the majority of my work, which many people do not want to look into. It is a religion that ultimately runs this world. It's not politics. It's not money. There's something that lies beyond that, that lies behind that. And this has been the bulk of my work, actually, since I've started public speaking. I've given many talks on it at other conferences and on my website, whatonearthishappening.com. But ultimately, it is a priest class. It is a religion. It is a twisted, psychopathic religion that is adhered to by the real powers that be that lie behind the money power, even, and the political power.
I would like to add to that, and maybe even play a little bit of devil's advocate, Mark. I think it's also important not to attribute to, and again, it's a quote that I can't remember who said it, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's important not to attribute evil to what may be simple incompetence and simple just idiocracy. I think that, and I'm not saying that is all of it. And like I said, I didn't say there's no evil.
Okay.
Absolutely, there are evil people out there. And I think it definitely takes a sociopath to be a very successful politician, because you have to be able to not only compartmentalize any kind of emotion you may have ever felt ever at one point in your life, but it also takes just an absolute cold, cruel, insidious nasty kind of disposition that you're able to hide. I mean, I look at House of Cards, and I had a writing block a couple years ago when it first came out, and I was like, oh, I'll binge watch something on Netflix, and I put that on. It's like, oh my gosh. Of course, it's Hollywood, and maybe they made it a little bit dramatic, but maybe that's not even the tip of the iceberg. Who knows? It's not like what happens behind those closed doors is ever going to be public information. We're never going to know any of that. So all we can do right now is try to, I guess, fight against the immediate injustice and try to kind of do what we can to wake people up in the best way possible.
Do you really think that we're not going to know any of it? Or do you think maybe that we know it, but we're too blind to admit that it's actually happening?
Oh, I think a lot of us know it. I think that what I mean is the details, like what's said and what happens and every single move. And, you know, you look at a lot of documents that have been declassified by the government, redacted, or I'm sorry, highlighted with that black highlight. However you look at these, and these are actual documents by the government that a lot of people, you know, they call conspiracy theories. And yeah, it's a conspiracy, but it's not a theory, you know.
Yeah.
Operation Paperclip, that's a fact. It happened. Operation Northwoods, that's a fact. It happened. That was a plan.
How about the biggest covert operation of all time, Operation Cyclone? A lot of people haven't looked into that one. The covert funding by the United States, the CIA, and Israel of the Mujahideen fighters who fought the Soviet Union in the mountains of Afghanistan in the 1970s, and then later were essentially radicalized and became Al-Qaeda and ISIL and ISIS. And people don't even understand that we created those groups, you know, and trained them and funded them and gave them weapons and then left them in a war-torn country with no relief, not rebuilding one hospital or one school. And then we wonder why they, you know, radicalized against the West.
It's obvious with the Taliban, ISIL, ISIS, whatever you want to call it, that was definitely created by policy of Western governments. I think Saudi Arabia is a big player in that as well. Kind of some crazy stuff happening in the world. You have to sift through all of this because, again, you don't know what's real, what's not. Or if you don't do the research, you're not aware of what's real or what's not. And you have to do the research and you have to hope that the research you're doing is accurate. That's the biggest thing, is getting the right information, because it seems that no matter what it is, people are going to say that you have an agenda. No matter what it is, whether it's the truth or not, you have an agenda. So you're going to lie about something, or you're going to be full of crap about something because you want to get your message across, because that's what everybody does nowadays. And that's the mindset of the people.
All right. That's why eclectic research and a lot of discernment are required. You can't just go to one source of information. You have to have a very varied pool of informational resources that you can go to and compare and contrast and weed out inconsistencies and really try to get a vibe for where that information is coming from, how well researched it is. And then you have to employ your own discernment and judgment. And a lot of people struggle in doing that because it's a very time-consuming effort.
And it questions your own value system.
That's right.
And that scares a lot of people.
Right.
Whether you're right, she's right, the guy over there is right, the other person speaking is right, the people in charge are right. Do the research. It's fascinating and it's scary at the same time. Again, with me are Josie Wales and Mark Passio. Could you give out the information about the Free Your Mind conference that's happening the 15th through the 17th of April here in the Philadelphia area? Dates, location, phone number, all that info, social media.
Absolutely. Free Your Mind 4. A conference on consciousness, mind control, and the occult, taking place next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Sheraton Bucks County Hotel at 400 North Oxford Valley Road in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. The conference's website, where you can get the entire speaker listing, is freeyourmindconference.com. Once again, freeyourmindconference.com.
And on Facebook, you can actually look it up. It's the page, I think, is Free Your Mind Conference, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, that's it.
And you can always contact, I mean, I'm on Facebook. It'll go to my other box, I'm sure, but I'll check those. Mine's pretty public.
I'm also on Facebook. Yeah. You could just type my name, Mark Passio. I don't know if I could accept any new friends because I'm already at the limit, but you can check out my profile there.
Are there any other people that are speaking that maybe people should take an extra special interest in?
Yeah, I think that people really should pay attention to Jay Parker and the information he's going to bring forward about satanic ritual abuse that takes place against children in our society. I think people should really pay attention to Kathy O'Brien, who is going to talk about Satanism in very high political places of power. I think people should absolutely look into the research of Jordan Maxwell and Jim Mars, who are also speaking. And there's just a whole host of brilliant speakers coming. Freeman, Max Egan.
He's huge.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
It's a who's who. This conference is definitely a who's who of researchers from throughout the world who are going to come together and share their research and share their solution-oriented approach as to how we can actually change the dynamic that we're seeing take place and improve our world for the better.
Also, a very well-known independent journalist, Luke Radowski, who
yes.
has done amazing, amazing stuff. He's traveled the world. He has confronted Henry Kissinger three times. He's just done amazing things from WeAreChange.org. Also, yeah, I think he would be one to come and check out. He's actually going to be on the agorism panel, which is interesting because he's also a little bit of a skeptic with the whole anarchy, full on anarchy.
Is there anything else you want to say or finish up with before we wrap things up?
I'd like to just tell people if they want to check out more about the information that I put forward, you can visit my website at whatonearthishappening.com. There's a tremendous body of knowledge available at that website. Lots of videos, lots of audio podcasts. And if you're inclined, you could also check out my anarchist hardcore punk band called The Founders, which I just started this past summer. You could check that out at thefounders.us.
One last question before we wrap it up. We're talking a lot about change. Is change possible?
Absolutely possible. The question is, do we will it to happen?
Change is absolutely, it's not only possible, it's inevitable. It's happening
That's
right. all the time, constantly. It just depends on which way we direct it. And I think positivity has a lot to do with it, and not focusing on the negative and doing our best to just basically promote freedom and be there for, you know, our community and our friends and family. And
Josie Wales, Mark Passio, thank you very much for stopping by to talk about the Free Your Mind Conference. Appreciate it.
Marcus, thanks so much.
You bet. You're listening to 93.3 WMMR. This is Public Affairs. I'm your host, Marcus Goldman. If you would like more information about the Free Your Mind Conference, please email me, marcus at WMMR.com. Again, thank you very much for listening. Enjoy your Sunday.
The WMMR Public Affairs Show is locally written, recorded, and produced by your host, Marcus Goldman, with topics that relate to the WMMR listening area to better serve and inform the WMMR family. Thank you for listening, and we invite you to tune in next week to another show as WMMR puts Philly first.